And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to the book of Psalms, book of Psalm chapter 40, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. The psalmist writes, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare." Ending at verse 5. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the written word that we have just read from, but we thank you for the living word, Jesus Christ. And we just invite the Holy Spirit here into this place this morning. And Holy Spirit, that you would guide every word that I speak. You know the heart of God. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak the heart of God this morning. Father, you know what people need to hear. You know what people need sitting here this morning in the sound of my voice. You see each one of us, Lord, today. And we just ask God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to us today. May Jesus be exalted. May he be lifted up. We commit these things to you. I ask that you hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen and amen. We started last week as we're looking forward to the greatest celebration time of the church, the body of Christ, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And as we look into the Gospel of John, we see Jesus, beginning in chapter 13 through 17, Jesus and his disciples are gathered in the upper room. And Jesus begins to share with them. Jesus begins to speak to them about what is about to happen, what is going to take place. What is going to happen to him? What is going to happen to them? And he speaks words of encouragement to them. The first thing as we looked at last Sunday was the fact that Jesus said in John 14:1, "Let not your heart be discouraged. Let it not be troubled, discouraged, or distressed." That was the first thing that Jesus said to them. Immediately following those words, Jesus said, what we're going to talk about today. Jesus simply said, "Trust me. You believe in God, believe also in me. You trust God, trust me. Trust me when things doesn't make sense to you. Trust me in times of uncertainty. Trust me when things aren't going as you've planned. Trust me in those times." And many of us, maybe all of us here this morning, have had those times in our lives where all we had was our trust in God because absolutely nothing made sense. We're praying and nothing seems to be changing. We're praying and nothing seems to happen, especially on our time frame, because we always want things quick. We want answers quick. We want things to happen. We want things to change quickly. We don't want to go through things. We don't want to go through stuff, especially when stuff does not make sense to us, especially when things are contrary to what I'm praying for or praying about. And in those times, God is saying to us, "Trust me." And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And as followers of Jesus Christ and believers in Jesus Christ, there are many things that, we can be thankful for. That we can be thankful for the love of God. That we can be thankful for the mercy of God. That we can be thankful for the forgiveness of God. for his kindness, for his goodness. There are so many things that we can be thankful for, and we need to be that way every day. Thank God. I attempt to every morning when I get up out of bed, thank God for the day. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for the breath of life today. I don't know what today holds, God, but I know that, God, you're going to walk through it with me. And so we have many things to be thankful for. And one of the things that we can be thankful for and should be is the fact that we serve a God who is trustworthy, that we can put our trust and our confidence in him. It's been a couple years ago. Martha and I went away for a couple weeks, and as I took my coffee and my Bible out on the balcony and sat there and had devotions, I was reading through Psalms, and about every morning, I would get up and go out and open and begin to read, and this word trust was there. And I thought, well, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of neat. The same thought, the same word is there. And then I took a book along just to read, and one of the chapters in that book was entitled Trust. And I thought, now is that a coincidence? And I've learned that with God there is no coincidence. And you know, sometimes I'm a little hard-headed. Sometimes I'm a little thick-skulled. I'm waiting for Martha to say amen. But you know, suddenly the light goes on. And God, are you trying to tell me something? Are you preparing me for something in that I am going to have to trust you? And I told Martha, I said, God is preparing me or God is preparing us for something that we're going to have to trust him for it. And it wasn't long till, boom, we hit it. And we trusted God, and God brought us through it. Put our trust in God. And in this chapter, in this book, on this chapter on trust, there was multiple examples of trust. And one of the chapter, or one of the examples that was there, was that like a father was looking for his four-year-old daughter, and he went to her room, and there she was. And she was standing on the bed, and she was jumping and bouncing up and down. You know how four-year-olds do? And she said, Daddy, catch me. And the only thing about that was that he said, every time that he said, you know, was to do that, she said, back up further, Daddy, back up. And so he said, I took a step back, and she said, more. So he took a step back and more, Daddy, more. And so he took another step back and more, Daddy, more. And he thought, this is impossible. And all of a sudden she said, stop. And he said, he looked at this and thought, no good can come out of this. And he said, are you sure? And she said, yes. And like a Superman, she leaps. And in that instant and in that moment, her only hope is in her father and his strong arms. She knows no fear. She has no fear, for she knows her father. She trusts him. Now I ask myself, I ask us, do we possess that same level of trust in our Heavenly Father? Or do we hesitate, or do we run to him and leap into his arms, trusting in God's great faithfulness, that his arms are long enough to reach us, his arms that are strong enough to catch us and hold us? There is a verse in Proverbs 3, and you probably are familiar with it, verse 5, well, verse 6 as well, but it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not just sometimes, but all the time. Not just for some things, but for everything, trust in the Lord with all your heart. In Psalm 37, this is a tremendous chapter, and in this psalm, it begins in the first two verses by telling us things that we should not do, and they are, we're not to look at the evildoers or wicked and what they're doing, because what they're doing is all that they have. So don't be envious of them. And then verse 3, it begins, what I believe and what I see is that there begins a building in our life, building in our relationship with God our Father. And the first thing that the psalmist writes is, trust in the Lord and do good. The first thing that we have to do is trust in God. Trust in His goodness. Trust in His faithfulness. Trust in that He is who He says He is and that He can do what He says He can do. Trust in God. Have total confidence in Him. I rely on Him. I rely on His word. I rely on the truth of His word. My confidence is not in my ability. My confidence is in the ability that God has, and His ability is so much greater than mine. Trust is the foundation on which any relationship must be built. Without trust, any relationship that is not built on trust, it will not last. And when trust is broken, it is hard to build it back together. It is hard to bring that trust, that broken trust, back together. Trust must be that foundational block that we begin to build on. I trust you, God. No matter what happens, no matter what comes my way, I am going to trust you. If we make that commitment, I'm warning you, watch out. The enemy will see to it that you're going to have to put your words into action. I'm confident of that. But we have to stand strong in our faith and our trust in God, that with God we can handle whatever comes our way. Amen? So now we've laid that foundational stone, and we begin building. And the second thing that the psalmist writes there is that we are to delight in the Lord. Delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, it's not that I delight in God and God, you'll give me whatever I want. But when I delight in the Lord, I find that my delights become His delights. What is God delighting for me? What is God delighting for us to experience? So I delight myself in the Lord, that I'm happy in Jesus, that I'm enjoying my life with Jesus. Is it always an easy life? Is your marriage always an easy life? And silence. Doesn't a good marriage take work? Amen, right? You can answer me, honestly. We're not being taped in this service, so you're okay to answer me. But we are to delight in the Lord, and we are to work at it. I'm happy with my life. Or if you're not happy with your life in Jesus, then what are you doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? God wants to bless your life. That is something that you have to believe, that God is a lavish giver. And He wants to bless His people. The Bible tells us that. The plans I have for you, they're not to harm you, but they are to bless you, to give you a hope and a future. Our future and our hope is not in people, is not in Washington. Our hope is in the God of heaven. That's where I put my trust. That is in whom I delight. We read here in verse 4, blessed is the man. That word blessed simply means happy, to be envied. I'm enjoying my life with God. And if I'm enjoying my life with Jesus, my face ought to show it. My actions ought to show it. I've heard it said, and maybe you have too, the believers of Jesus or followers of Jesus should be the happiest people around. Have you ever heard that? No? Well, you just did then. But we should be happy. We should be excited. Not that I live on in emotions, but there is a joy that swells up within me because I know who I belong to. I know that heaven awaits. I don't know what I'm going to have to face till I get there, till death comes or Jesus comes, one or the other. But I know between now and then, I got to trust God. Because I don't know what's coming, but He does. God knows. So the foundation of trust. The foundation, or another block, is delighting. And then this third thing that he says is commit. Commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your plans to the Lord. Now, if I have trust in God, I can then delight in Him. And since I'm trusting in Him and I'm delighting in Him, I can commit my ways to Him. My ways, my plans. God, what do you have? What is your purpose? What is your plans for me? What is God's plans and purposes for you? What is God's plans and purposes for Antrim Brethren in Christ Church? If we want to know, we got to ask Him. And He'll tell us. But we commit our ways to the Lord. We commit our ways, I commit my ways to the Lord, to the one who knows everything about everything. And since we have laid the trust or the foundational stone of trust, we're delighting, we're committing, and then I can rest in Him. I can rest in Him. How can I rest in Him? Because I believe what He says. I believe what the Bible says. I know it. I've read it. But we have to go to another level of believing what it says. We can't be misinformed or uninformed. What does the Bible say? That is what I have to believe. And I know there's all kinds of interpretations or different things out there. But God, what are you saying? The Bible tells us to test the spirits. Test what you hear. Compare it to the Word of God. And if it doesn't align with the Word of God, throw it away. Pay no attention to it. But I can rest in the Lord. Isaiah 26 3 through 4 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always. Trust in the Lord always. Building this life, building this relationship with God. And in this life and this relationship with God, I can do what 1 Peter 5 says to do, casting all your care, casting all your worries, casting all your anxieties, casting all your concerns on Him, because He can care, or He does care for you. Let me assure you today that there is nothing God can handle. There's absolutely nothing that God cannot handle. God is bigger than my problem. God is bigger than your problem. God is bigger than our problems combined. God is greater and bigger than our problems. God really is interested in you. You really matter to God. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that you have significance in and to God? Or maybe you've been not told that a lot, and maybe we struggle with that. We have kind of a low self-esteem. That's not healthy. And if we think too highly of ourselves, that's not healthy either, because we know what the Bible says about that. We get a lofty attitude about ourselves, and we will come tumbling down. But God is interested in you. And I read this neat little illustration. It says, one of the sweetest reasons God saved you is because he is fond of you. He likes having you around. God likes hanging out with you. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk, he'll listen. He can live anywhere in the universe, and he chose your heart. And the Christmas gift he sent you in Bethlehem, face it, friend, God is crazy about you. Isn't that neat? I come across a story of a man that heard of another individual that was put in prison and sentenced to death. But the one that was put in prison and sentenced to death didn't seem to bother him. He was so strong and he seemed so comforted. And this gentleman thought, I need to see him and talk to him, and asked him some questions. And so he did. He went, started talking to him. He said, do you mind if I asked you some questions? And no. And he said, first question was, do you have any family? No, I don't have any family. How's your health? Well, my body is broken and tired. Do you have any friends? I do, but some of them have left, departed, turned back. What do you own? Do you own anything? I own my parchments and my pen. Well, do you have any awards? No earthly ones. And then he says, what do you have, Paul? You have no belongings. You have no family. You're criticized by some. You're mocked by others. What do you have that matters? And as we sat there, he took his hand and rolled it into a fist, and he started to look at it. And he said, he looked at it, and I looked at it, and I thought to myself, what does he have in there? What is he holding? And he said, at that moment, he stretched forth his hand and opened it, and it was empty. He said, I have my faith. It's all I have, but it's all I need. I have kept the faith. That's what faith is. Faith is trusting what the eye cannot see. We are told in Scripture that we live, we walk, we live out each day by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we're moved by sight, but we need to be moved by faith, not by sight. The eye sees your problem. Faith sees the problem solver. The eye sees your faults. Faith sees your Savior. The eye sees guilt and condemnation, but faith sees the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you know that we put our trust, we put our banks and financial institutions. We trust them with our money, our finances. We trust doctors with our health. And we trust babysitters and daycare centers with our children. And they're all good. And they're all vitally important. But are we as quick to trust our God, our Heavenly Father, with our lives? Are we as quick to trust God with our life, our future, our today, our tomorrow? I can't change yesterday. That's gone. But do I trust God with today? Do I trust God with my life? God, I give it to you. I surrender total control to you. Sometimes it's hard for us to do that, to give control of our lives to somebody else. But God wants us to do that. Are we as quick to trust God with our problems? Or do we fret over them? Do we worry about them? We should be praying about them and get with some other brothers and sisters in Christ and ask them to pray with you. Ask them to agree with you. But trust God with your problems and your hurts. Have you ever been hurt by someone? Have you ever been hurt by another believer? Give that to the Lord. Give that care. Give that hurt to the Lord. Because you carrying that hurt around does not help you in any way whatsoever. We trust God with our hurts. We trust God with our needs. The Bible says that God knows what we have need of before we ask, and yet He tells us to ask and to continue to ask. Can you take that leap of faith into our Father's arms, trusting that He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could even ask, think, or imagine? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I thought of another illustration. If you've ever been to a pool, swimming pool, and there are children there, and you see a father in the water, and he's trying to coax his little boy or little girl jump, and they kind of stand on the edge of the pool, and their knees are bent, and they're kind of wobbling back and forth. And the father's saying, "Come on, Daddy will catch you." Maybe you've done that. "Daddy will catch you," and there's just hesitation. But in that moment, there is a leap. Daddy catches them. And then what happens the second time? That's so much easier the second time. They're out. "Daddy, do it again." Is that the way we are with God? God is saying, "Come on, jump, leap. I'll catch you. I'll hold you." And when you do it the first time, the second time is so much easier to trust in Him. Psalm 91:2 says, "This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust Him." Do you trust Him this morning? Do you really trust God this morning with your life, your problems, your hurts, your future? How about your today? Cast all of your care on Him because He loves you so much. Father, we thank You again for Your sweet, sweet presence in this place. And Father, I don't see the hearts of people. You do. You see things that people are struggling with. You see the hurts. You see the problems. And some problems may seem so insurmountable. But God, we have to trust You. Jesus, that's what You said. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be discouraged. Trust Me. Trust Me instead of being discouraged. Trust Me." Holy Spirit, impress that upon people here today. God, for that one person in this service that may really be struggling, all they need to do is leap into the Father's arms they'll find them strong enough to catch and to hold. Father, we just thank you for your great, great love today. We commit the closing of this service to you. Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Those that know that, yes, he saw me in my pit, he saw me in my dark place, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me up and out. And now we praise him all the livelong day. Some of you today may yet need to meet him. Maybe your place right now still feels like that pit. And maybe you came today with other needs that you just need to have prayer for. So whether you want to know Jesus or you want to have someone come alongside you and pray with you today, I encourage you today to step over here in the front corner of the room. Most everybody's going to be working their way back here, so you're not going to be made a spectacle of. But there's going to be those over here, I would say any Sunday school teachers, those who are being trained as elders, or those who are just gifted and know that they would like to pray with you, pray for you. I encourage you to come over here to the front corner near the exit sign. Those pastors will be here to pray along with you. If you'd like, I invite you to at this time. And those of you, everyone else here, I encourage you to go with the joy of the Holy Spirit this day, knowing that he is your Savior and he is your rock. May that be your story today. Go in his peace.